Is there more to midlife than just getting through it? Absolutely. Welcome. I'm your host, Debbie Cunningham, jazz artist turned midlife mentor, and I'm here to say to you loud and clear, it's time for your midlife crescendo. Well, hey, friends. I hope all is well as we wind down the month of April. I mean, that one flew by fast. This past weekend, the movie Unsung Hero was released in various theaters across the country. Derek and I were able to see an early showing of the movie many months ago, and I would encourage you to see it if you can. It is based on a remarkable true story about a mother's faith that stands against all odds and inspires her husband and children to hold on to their faith. The unsung hero is the mother of Christian artists Rebecca St. James and For King and Country. I think you'll love this story. It is absolutely worth your ticket. Okay, today on the podcast, we are going to be talking with Jamie Hurd, who is the co-founder of Faithfully Restored Ministries here in Brentwood, Tennessee. The ministry was birthed out of several women experiencing a lot of loss in their early 30s. So it is a bit heavier on the subject matter today, so I want to give you a heads up on that. We talk about grief and loss, but also the hope we have in Jesus. We also talk about how that was the catalyst for this group of women to start a nonprofit. So there's a bit of midlife pivot in there and entrepreneurship as well. Here's my conversation with Jamie. Well, hey, everybody. Today I have with me Jamie Hurd. She is the co-founder and executive director of Faithfully Restored, a nonprofit that serves women who are walking through difficult situations. After experiencing the loss of her son, William, in December 2015, God surrounded her family with a community of people who served as his hands and feet. She saw the goodness of God and his faithfulness in the midst of heartache and devastating loss. Because of this, Jamie has made it her life's mission to help women going through hard times. Her goal is to let women know that regardless of their current situation, they are not alone and there is hope found in Jesus. Jamie and her husband, Daniel, live in Brentwood, Tennessee with their two girls, Madeline and Annie. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, well, we are so happy to have you today. Well, the first question I always ask my guests on Midlife Crescendo is, tell us something about yourself that's not on your bio.
I love to travel. I love to go different places with my husband, with our family, girls' trips. I love it all. That is how I unwind, and I need to get away from the day to day, and the ocean is very healing for me. So a couple times a year, I try to go to the ocean and just feel very small looking out on the ocean and just feel God's goodness surrounding me at the ocean. So I love to travel.
That's wonderful. I actually love to travel too. It's my favorite thing. Last year at this time, I was in Italy. So I'm kind of pining for that right now.
Wonderful. I've been a couple times. My sister actually lived there for a couple years. And so we got to go twice when she was there. And I'm so grateful that we went over there while she was there. It was fantastic.
It's a different way of living over there. My daughter lived in Germany for 3 years with her husband, who's in the Air Force. And so we got to go several times. I was really grateful to get to experience that culture, you know, in the world, because, you know, the world is a big place. And so really getting out of America and getting to see different things, you really see just the vastness of God's creation.
I agree completely. Absolutely.
Well, Jamie, I know you and your family experienced such a great loss with the loss of William, but experiencing that loss to a few of your friends starting this ministry of Faithfully Restored is a huge leap. Can you kind of tell me how that journey started?
Yes, we have a friend group, that tight-knit friend groups. We're all in our early 30s, and we just experienced it. A lot of different difficulties that are kind of uncharacteristic for being in your early 30s, kind of deep valleys that we walked through. And one of my friends had a late term miscarriage. Another founder of Faithfully Restored walked through infertility. So as we were all having kids, her and her husband sat at a fertility clinic's office and said they had less than a 1% chance of having biological children. And so as we're walking through this, they start to pursue adoption. And we didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to handle these heavy stories. And so we just started showing up by writing notes. We were like, okay, let's all write notes. For the next 30 days, they'll have notes to read, one a day, and then we'll do different care packages. So just full of goodies, full of chocolate and wine and eye masks and all different things. And that's how we showed up for each other. And then, of course, we got together and we were praying together. But in 2015, Jamie walked through infertility, had adopted Jack. And then in the summer of 2015, Heather had just turned 30 and got diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh gosh.
And that was in the summer. We walked through that diagnosis with her. And in December of 2015 is when we got the call that William had choked at lunch and he passed away. And so that year was just really difficult. And we knew what it felt like to walk through something, but also what it felt like to walk through something with community. So I remember when we got back from Vanderbilt, William stayed in the hospital all weekend. We ended up choosing organ donation. And so he stayed in there longer and we donated a couple of his organs, which is a whole nother story of God's goodness. But when I came back from the hospital, Daniel and I, on that Monday, he choked on a Friday. Monday, we got home from the hospital and I saw the care package with all of the notes from my friends. And I was like, okay, it's my turn. I had spent, you know, the last little bit loving on our group of friends. And then it was my turn to receive that love. And so we knew what it was like and became in these clubs of infertility and adoption and loss and early cancer diagnosis. And to be honest, we came like magnets for those stories. And so we were hearing constantly of other women that were suffering. Our eyes were open to not only our friend group that was suffering, but women across the country who are walking through these deep valleys that may have not had the same community support that we did. Right. And so we would always be telling, like Heather, Jamie, and I would always be telling each other, you know, pray for this person we heard about, you know, they lost a child or they just got diagnosed with cancer. Their child got diagnosed with cancer. And so we kept on telling each other these kind of heavy stories. And we're still in the year or two after really struggling ourselves,
right. But
our eyes are open to the hurting women across the country as well. And so the three of us were going to Fellowship Bible Church and we were walking through James, and it was an act of faith series. And I remember sitting there week after week and just feeling this tug of, you can do something for these women that are hurting. Your faith can show in an active way. There is something you can do, just how your friend showed up for you, just how you showed up for them. You can show up for these women. And so we clearly felt a calling to do something and have our faith kind of take an active step in our faith of showing up for these women. So when William died in December, 6 months later, Jenny Rebecca Springer lives just down the road from me. I didn't know her. And a friend that was friends with both of us called me and said, what were some things that people did for you when William died that we could do for Jenny Rebecca? So I kind of went through some meaningful support that people had, ways that people had shown up for us. And then I did the same thing. I wrote Jenny Rebecca a note and I sent her a book that I read. And I said, I'm only 6 months ahead of you. This is really hard, but you are going to be okay. And I'm here if you need anything. And the way the Lord used our friendship, you know, she called me, we went for a walk, we both later after that loss found out we were pregnant and walked through having another child after a loss, which is full of joy and also full of fear and all the things. And so the way the Lord used our friendship was so powerful. Even though I was surrounded by a great friend group and community, there was something different about having a friend that had lost a child, both having lost our son. Her words held a lot more weight than others. Right. And I think in the when you're walking through something like that, the enemy would love for you to feel that you're alone and that no one else is walking through it. And it's a very easy response to receive a note, to be talking to someone and just kind of think, they don't know what I'm walking through. And so when you do find those people, and that's one of the things that Faithful Restore does now, when you do find those people, the Lord uses that and just uses the weight of their words to just really be powerful. And so when Jamie, Heather, and I decided, okay, we're going to meet once a month and we're going to get together and we're going to write notes and send care packages, just like our friends did, to these stories and these women that we hear about. We asked Jenny Rebecca to join us and she was like, absolutely. And so it started in late 2018. We met on my back porch one night and we're like, okay, this is what we're doing. We're going to pray for these women by name. We're going to send them notes and we're going to put together a little care package of stuff that we just found comfort in and we're going to send them. And so from the beginning, that's kind of how it started in late 2018. And, you know, there's a lot of healing that can be done when you're walking through something and you serve others.
Right.
And so we experience that healing of just coming together, having a perspective of we're not alone in this. There are so many other women hurting and we can do something. The same hope we have in Jesus, we can spread to them. And so when we sat down and I was writing those notes to the moms that have lost children, the Lord was also doing something in my heart of reminding me of those truths. It is going to be okay. The Lord is with you. He will not leave you. And as I wrote those words in my own heart, there was healing to be done. And so in early 2019, we realized we were not having a shortage of women that were hurting. The stories came out from, people were sending us all sorts of names. Did you hear about this person? Do you hear about this person? And there was no shortage of women. And so, which was really exciting and kind of scary for us too. And so in early 2019, we thought, you know what, this could really turn into something and let's start a nonprofit. And that was kind of how we initially had the idea of just getting together. It was selfishly some for our own healing and a way to not carry those stories and take an active step of faith and serve them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. That's beautiful. I mean, I just finished the study of James again for a second time. And it is a powerful message of not just hearing the word, but doing. So I love that that was part of your story in that. And what a beautiful ministry that you, because there are so many hurting people and writing notes and sending a book or a package is an easy thing to just let somebody know that you're thinking of them. Well, tell us a little bit more about Faithful Restored. Your ministry lifts up women who need care, encouragement, and community. But how do you go about that in your nonprofit?
Mm-hmm. So when we ended up launching in 2019 in August, and we had an event at Fellowship and had about 150 friends, family, friends of friends there and just shared our hopes and dreams for Faithful Restored. And that is our mission statement is through hope in Jesus. And I always stop there because that is why we do what we do. That is how we're getting out of bed every morning. That is how we can show up for women that are hurting and still be hurting ourselves. Is through hope in Jesus, Faithful Restored lifts up women who need care, encouragement, and community. So we were like, how can we do this? And so one of the things that we do is we take in prayer requests from our website, and that's what we do. We do the care packages and send notes. And so we take in prayer requests from across the country. 80% of the time, it would be you submitting a prayer request for maybe your neighbor who lost a spouse, or maybe your cousin in Arkansas just got diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm-hmm. 80% of the time, it comes in from a friend. And all they do is they get on our website and they just say, you know, my friend Jamie recently lost her son, William, and put my address on there. And then what we do here, we have an office in Cool Springs in Brentwood, and we take in those prayer requests and decide how can we serve this woman. We send out care packages, probably hundreds of care packages now go out a month from our offices. And so we have an office in Brentwood And we have volunteers now that come in. You know, those early days, it was all us doing it. But now we have volunteers come in our office, and you will get a name and a little bit of a story. So you would, a volunteer would come in the office, and they would get a piece of paper that said, Jamie, loss of child, Heather, cancer diagnosis. And okay. Now our volunteers were, early on, it was us doing everything. Now, just the way that we know it is healing to do this, from the beginning, as soon as we could get volunteers in here, we wanted other women to experience that healing and let the Lord do work in their hearts by serving. And right. So now it's all volunteers. So volunteers come in, and we have almost a store set up. It looks like a store in our office. And you come in and you'll get a list of names, and then you'll kind of look at our store and decide what goes in that care package. And we always say, you can't go wrong. It's not like someone's going to get the care package. A lot of times they don't know it's coming. So it's not like someone's going to get happy mail and think, man, I really wish they didn't give me this eye mask and they would have given, you know, so everyone's just excited to get mail, especially if you're hurting, you just want to be seen. You know, we have great stuff. We send out, Thrive Cosmetics is one of our biggest partnerships. They have given over $700,000 worth of product to us. We have a ton of partnerships with retailers across the country, small businesses, women-run businesses. We do use Amazon as well, but we have really good stuff. But what we hear most is it's that handwritten note and that package that has been prayed over. There's just something different about it. And so a volunteer comes in, puts together the package, writes the handwritten note and prays over it, and we send it from the office. So that is how we're seeing those women and encouraging them. And also, I told someone the other day, our volunteers, that is kind of a ministry in ourselves. That is how we're building community at Faithful Restored. We have a couple volunteers come in at a time, and you wouldn't believe the community building, because just like us, a lot of our volunteers come in serving out of their own pain. You know, I had a widow in here the other day. I didn't know who she was. And I asked, you know, how did you hear about Faithful Restored? And she said, well, you actually served me. She said, last year I lost my husband. And she said, I was followed along. I was served by you all this year. And she said, as much as I hate to come in here and see the names on this list of the women that are hurting, there is a comfort in knowing that I'm not alone. And so she loves to come in, make the care packages, and kind of get the perspective of, I'm not the only one hurting. Here's a list of names of women that are walking through difficult things just like me, and I can encourage them. And so that's kind of how we build community, how we encourage them. And we're not a one and done. So when we walked through our difficulties, we had people surrounding us for months and years. I still receive packages. I still receive texts. I still receive cards at William's birthday before the anniversary. I'm still being seen. And not everyone has that. I always tell people, what can they do for someone that's lost a child? Specifically, I get asked a lot. And I always tell them, put reminders in your phone to check in on them 3 months, 6 months, a year. Put a reminder before the anniversary next year, because a lot of people have support and we mean well and good. And it's a shock when a child dies. It's a shock when a spouse dies. But then you kind of go about your day-to-day life. After that initial kind of shock wears off, your friends and your family, especially the people, the community around you, for good reason, need to go back to their own lives.
Right.
You kind of get less and less support. So that's when we want to step in. If we get a prayer request for a loss, we'll often wait a couple months to serve that woman because we know the support's there initially. Right. And then I remember the day that the care packages stopped, that the notes stopped, we received hundreds of notes. I remember going to the mailbox that day and opening it and thinking, okay, here I am still very deep in my grief and it feels like the support's gone away. And so that's when we like to step in, and then we're not a one and done. And so right now we have 175 care packages. Churchill Mortgage actually partnered with us and put them together. They're sitting in our offices, and that's 175 women that over this past year, we've received a prayer request for them that have either lost their child, their spouse, or their own mom. and they will experience Mother's Day, their first time, their first Mother's Day, without their child, without their spouse, or without their own mom. And so we'll send those out here soon as those women anticipate that Mother's Day. I mean, they're thinking about it now. They're thinking about the dreaded day of Mother's Day without their child, what that'll be like, what will they do? How will people respond? You, if you have other kids, you need to kind of be joyful and present and there for your other kids. Yet how do you celebrate Mother's Day without one of your kid, without one of your children, you know? So we see them before that. And so I know what it's like to receive one of those care packages and feel seen as those women are anticipating those hard days. So we do that before first Mother's Day, first Father's Day. We had 200 go out last November before their first holiday. And so that first set of holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas with the empty chair there of your loved one not there, is really hard. You anticipate that of what does that look like? Everyone around you is going to be happy. And here you are carrying this grief of walking through that holiday, having everything else maybe the same, but not having that person with you.
Right.
So we send out care packages before the first holiday. And then for years to come, we do anniversary packages. So William died in December. I'm on the November list. So we have specific volunteers that come in twice a month now that we have so many. And we'll have volunteers come in and they have specific care packages that they put together with just like this year. They're different each year because the same women are getting them. And so this year they have a little glass heart. And then they have a little scripture card and a little eye mask. And then it has a note and say, you are being prayed for as you anticipate the anniversary of your loss.
Yes.
And that's, it'll be 9 years for me in November or come December. And you better believe come November, still 9 years later, I'm experiencing grief.
You still feel it. Yes.
As I'm anticipating. And I think a lot of people, if you hadn't walked through something or walked with someone closely that day, it actually is kind of a relief to get there of the anniversary date. It kind of is like, okay, I made it, it's here. But that anticipation of the day is actually way worse. And so we send out our anniversary packages the month before as they anticipate that anniversary. And so that's another way we're building community. We are encouraging women and we're lifting them up as they walk through that journey of grief, cancer diagnosis, whatever it is. That's one of the ways that we continue to walk alongside and care for them. And just like Jenny, Rebecca, and I, how we came together having both experienced the loss of a child, we also match prayer partners. So you can sign up on our website to be a prayer partner. And when a prayer request comes in, you can sign up for a prayer partner. And so if I were to submit a prayer request for myself, put that I'd lost my son and check the box that I would like a prayer partner, Morgan on our team would match me with someone that had experienced a similar loss. And so then they, all they do is get my name and address, a little bit about my story. And then that is another way these women are feeling seen in the body of Christ is coming around them. Not only are they getting something from us, but someone in our community is praying for them by name and sending them a note. And sometimes they'll send a little book that they loved, or they'll send a scripture card, or, you know, some people put their name and address, and we've had stories of pen pals forming. We had someone here go meet someone here in Nashville, meet someone in from Kentucky. They drove halfway and they met. I mean, it's, we just kind of let the Holy Spirit guide our prayer partners, but that's another way of building community, of having the body of Christ wrap around someone that's hurting and giving an opportunity for that prayer partner to heal in serving someone else. We so often we'll have women that have been served come around maybe a year later and say, I would love to pour into someone that is walking through a divorce that I experienced last year. And just like I said with Jenny and Rebecca, the way the Lord uses those women that have both experienced something, just the weight of their words, it's different. Yes. And so that's another way that we just build community and lift up women. So we do care packages, we match prayer partners, And then we also have specific community events. So once a month in our office, we have a prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. And so those prayer meetings, we specifically pray for by name, the prayer request that we've received from the month before. And then we never do last names. We never, you know, you're never going to come in here and get the full story on someone or get their name and address or anything like that. But you will get the name and a little bit about their story. And we take an hour each month and specifically just lift those women up by name. And so that's another, their care packages that go out are prayed for, but that's another way of building community and just seeing those women that are hurting. And I can tell you, I have felt the power of prayer. When someone says they're praying for me, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but I feel when people are praying for me. I have felt lifted up in those dark days of December as I'm kind of just the enemy loves to get to me and I kind of spiral down and it's like, is this really my story? Did I really lose a child? Is this going to be my grief journey for, am I going to carry this grief the rest of my life? Those days in December can get really dark. And I know there are people praying for me and that is lifting me up. Yeah. And so we tell women, even when you don't feel like you can pray, the body of Christ here in our community is wrapping around you and praying for you specifically. So that's a way we build community. And then lastly, we have once a month breakfast clubs. So we have women come in our office and share their stories. So we might have a panel of widows. We might have, I interviewed two sisters that lost their mom to suicide. Divorce, we've had people talk on. It's just real women sharing their stories and inviting women into that intimacy of grief and suffering and tragedy. And we always try to do an educational piece of what does it look like to provide meaningful support for someone that's lost a spouse, right, for someone that's fostering, a mom that's fostering. Not everyone's called to adoption, but we're called to walk alongside women that are fostering, right, and adopting. So what does that look like? So we always have an educational piece in there. So we love real women sharing their stories, being vulnerable, and women are drawn to that. I mean, so much, I think now we love a picture perfect. You see the highlight reel of our lives.
Yes.
And we're trying to combat that and say life is hard. It's difficult.
Yes.
People, it's not if, it's when you're going to walk through something. And we want to be there for you before it happens and encourage your faith before that happens. And when it does, we're here for you.
Yeah. That's a beautiful story. And you answered so many of my questions, all of that. So that's good.
I can go on and talk about this for, it is such a passion of mine. I see the work that we're doing. I hear the stories day to day.
Yes.
I see the life change happen. I see the generation change. When you help the mom in a family and serve the, yes, mom, it, we're changing generations. So I could go.
It's beautiful.
You kind of have to stop me and
No, you're good.
I can go on and on.
No, and that's amazing because, and you do, and I've been at your breakfast and, mm-hmm, I've also volunteered to write notes. So, mm-hmm, that's been a blessing to me to be able to see that side of it. And the other thing you do is you're not just sharing difficult stories, but you're providing hope and, mm-hmm, encouragement. And I wanted to say that because, I mean, life is hard and we do experience a lot of things in our life that are difficult. Grief goes on and on. Some people don't realize, mm-hmm, how long grief can linger in different ways. And so, and how it can be triggered, mm-hmm, later in life. So it's really important, the ministry that you're doing in serving these women and caring for them on this journey, because it is a journey.
Absolutely. So,
I want to pivot just a minute and talk about the business kind of entrepreneurial side, because starting a nonprofit is quite an undertaking. And so I'm just curious, you have a beautiful, beautiful ministry, but have there been bumps in the roads in the process of starting this as a...
Of course, of course. You know, one thing I knew this question was coming because one thing I didn't say in the beginning, I kind of like, oh, we started this and it just went on. But there, the four founders, we had zero nonprofit experience.
Okay.
When we started this, we didn't know anything about starting a nonprofit. So early 2019, when we were like, I think we need to do, I think the Lord has more for us here. The number of women is increasing. Our husbands were a little like, you can't help every single person that you come across. And yeah. we're like, okay, we're going to start a nonprofit. We didn't know what that looked like. We didn't know what that meant. It's kind of funny now, the number of people, we'll hit 5 years in August from our launch event. And the number of people that are like, Jamie, can I meet with you about how you started the nonprofit? And I'm like, this is hilarious, because if you really knew what we did, I mean, it's just, the Lord is so kind. And we Googled how to start a nonprofit. Someone the other day was like, what attorney did you use? I'm like, an attorney. I'm like, you don't need an attorney to start a nonprofit. I was like, at least we didn't use an attorney. So I'm not sure if we're the model of starting a nonprofit, but I will tell you, from the beginning, we have been spirit led, and out of anything, that's what matters. That yeah. when we felt a calling to start this, and it was so clear, I was just finishing up 10 years at a private school here. It was my dream job. I loved everything about it. Until the Lord took that desire away. And I knew I was meant to leave. I didn't know what was next. So that was the spring of 2019. We're filling out our paperwork. We're forming our board. That was one of the checklists on the nonprofit Google form that we printed. So the four of us were our board at first, and we would have these board meetings. And I remember sitting in one and I was like, does anyone else feel like they should leave their job and really try to get this off the ground? And they're like, No. I mean, one of them didn't even have a job. And she was like, I don't want to do that. So it was like, okay. So I really wrestled with that, because I knew that that is what I was supposed to do. I knew it, but it felt scary. It felt, I didn't know what I was getting into. So anytime the founders go speak, we always make a point to say, when the Lord places something on your heart, it is for a reason. And I look back on that time, that summer, when I was trying to decide, do I go back to work? Do I work for another year and try to figure this out? And I was like, I know I can't do that. And I look back on that time and I was so prayerful, because I truly was like, Lord, whatever you want for me, that's what I want.
Right.
But I wanted it a little clearer than what he was making. I wanted to step into a job. I wanted something, and that's not what he had, but I felt that that was what he was calling me to. So I wrestled and wrestled with it. And a week before school started, I went in and left my job. And I said, I know I'm not meant to come back. I don't know what's next. I want to promote organ donation, and I want to get Faithfully Restored off the ground, which was not a job. We had no money.
Right.
And, so I did it. And I will tell you, the moment the four of us said yes and decided to really do this, the Lord's like, I've got you. I've got you in it all. I've got you in the donors. I've got you in the women you're serving. I've got you in what is next for Faithfully Restored. You just have to trust me. Mm-hmm. And the second we opened our hands and fully surrendered that to him, best decision ever, because we launched and just kind of shared our hopes and dreams of Faithfully Restored. I told the people there, I said, I just quit my job. I don't know what this looks like, but here's what we want for this. Here's our vision for this. And someone that was there, you know, we were doing all the paperwork, getting all of our things in order and everything. We had our 501c3, and someone there called us and said, I'd like to make an end of the year donation. And we're like, score. This is amazing.
Okay, great.
Really didn't even know what that meant. And I was like, anytime you want to donate. Well, now we have a whole campaign over end of year giving. I'm a lot more knowledgeable now, but I was like, yes, this is great. So shared our hopes and dreams with her. She made a donation bigger than we've ever seen before. We were doing all of our own money. And so we're like, well, we need her to be in our board that we're forming. And I will tell you, we formed our board. We surrounded ourselves with people that knew what they were doing. We right. had the heart for it. We had the passion. We knew how to walk alongside women that were hurting, but we surrounded ourselves with people that knew nonprofit and were unapologetically in it. We need grace from these people, because we don't know what we're doing, but we need your wisdom. And I'll tell you, the first board meeting, he was our children's minister at church that we asked to be on our board, and super knowledgeable, has done a lot of nonprofit work. And we get done with that first board meeting, and he said, well, this is like the Wild Wild West. Okay. I don't think that's a compliment, actually. I don't know. But I think it was a breath of fresh air. I mean, it was just probably a lot different than most. I mean, Jamie, the other founder who we elected board president, because the jobs were just, okay, you want to do this? Sure. You want to do this? Sure. You want to do this? And so we look back now and just at the Lord's goodness of surrounding us with people that loved us, just supported our mission, and it could pour into us. And when we met that woman that we asked to be on our board, none of us had ever met her. She had been at our launch event, didn't know any of us. And we sit down in December. So we launched in August, sit down in December and for coffee. And she said, my husband and I feel called to pay your salary for you to be employed by Faithfully Restored.
Wow.
I will tell you, we weren't even praying bold enough prayers. I mean, when we were looking for guidance and Lord, whatever you have for us, that we didn't even dream. We weren't even dreaming the goodness that he had for us. It was just bigger than we could ever imagine. And so from the beginning, I feel like we didn't go through that dry spot. Maybe that summer I did and leaving my job of really, right. Like, I don't know what's next. There was a trust element there that I just feel like we're going for this. But as far as the nonprofit is concerned, when we launched in August and fully surrendered, it was like, Lord, what you have for us, we're here for. I felt like so quickly by December, he was like, I will take care of you. And so from that point, it has been that way. And that has been so encouraging to our faith to trust in the Lord when we don't know what's next. And so we just do the next thing. And so Heather and I came on staff in early 2020 in February, just very part-time. I was 15 hours, she was 10 hours a week. And it just has grown from there. And really just, I think it helps us to not have a background in nonprofit in a way, because we got hooked up with, it's called Mission Increase, which is, they're across the country. We have a branch here that we work with, and it is a Christian nonprofit that helps Christian nonprofits fundraise.
Okay.
And so who knew that existed? A nonprofit that helps Christian nonprofits fundraise. But we got in with them early on and have really always taken the stance of, as believers, we are called to give. We want to be, as Faithful Restored, a place where people feel good about giving. We want to be so mission-minded that when people give to Faithful Restored, they know their money is making a difference. And that mentality of really the root of it all in it is bringing people closer to Christ, whether it's a donor, whether it's someone we're serving, whether it's a volunteer. I think that has helped us, because I've never felt like I had to really ask for money. Now, as the numbers increase,
right,
the enemy loves to get in and loves to, especially for me, make me feel like this is all about me. This is on me to bring in this money. And who do you think you are to be able to do this? And I have to go back to, it's not about me. This is the Lord's work. He started it. He called me to it. He's going to provide. And I will tell you, every year he has provided in abundance. And so advice for anyone starting a nonprofit, it's so different being a Christian nonprofit. I've talked to some people that are starting nonprofits that maybe aren't believers or maybe aren't doing something that's kind of in the Christian lane. And I just think it's different. For-profit companies, very different. Our projections, our growth is not typical. And I will tell you, it is because the Lord called us to this and he is providing in abundance. And if we can just stay spirit-led in that, I truly have the confidence that until he calls us to something else or changing lanes, he's going to provide. What he called us to, he's going to provide. And so
that
feels very probably different than a lot of for-profit and a lot of even Christian nonprofits or, you know, so I don't know what kind of advice that is. But for us to stay spirit-led and trust the Lord and what he has for us and be very dependent on that has been the biggest thing. And we finished 2019 with $28,000 and we finished 2023 or 2023 with $670,000.
Amazing.
And every year our goal, and we set them high, every year we've surpassed. This year, our budget is $800,000. We'll hit 5 years, and I'm speaking it out. I think we'll hit $1 million. I mean, it's awesome. Just people want to be a part of what we're doing, and everyone wants to give, everyone wants to serve, and they don't know how. We try to make it really easy to serve.
That's my next question. So, how can people get involved in serving with Faithfully Restored?
I always tell people, I love to bring people in the office. If someone's listening and you're local here, or everyone comes on vacation to Nashville, if you want to travel to Nashville and come see us, we're in the old Dave Ramsey building in Brentwood. I love to have people come in. I love to hear their stories. I love to tour them around the office. And I always say it's really cool to meet someone and hear their story. And then I tell them kind of ways that they can get involved. And it just completely depends. Some women that sit in my office or that are listening need to be served by us right now. They're sitting in a place of grief. They're sitting in a place of loneliness, and they need to be served. I'd encourage them to get on our prayer wall and submit a prayer for themselves, to get on our website and submit a prayer request for themselves. Or maybe they're listening and have friends that are hurting. Get on there and submit for their friends. And that's one camp of people that I say, right now, we want to love on you. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We want to show you the hope that the enemy so desperately is trying to keep you in isolation. We want to shine into the darkness and serve you. And then there's someone that we have a lot of women that have a lot of time on their hands, and maybe their kids are in high school now. They were stay-at-home moms, and they're looking for a purpose. So we have a ton of volunteer opportunities on our website. You can sign up to volunteer. We also have, every once in a while, we'll have opportunities where you don't have to be here, so that maybe we could send you a packet of notes that you write and send back, something like that. But a lot of our volunteer opportunities are local, but you can sign up on our website. You'll get on a list, and once a month, a sign-up genius goes out, and that kind of has all the opportunities that we have available for the month. We are constantly trying to add more opportunities because we have such a demand for volunteer spots. So you can come in, you can make those care packages like I talked about. You can help with events. You can write notes. Some people will come and pick up packs of notes. For Mother's Day, we are serving Vanderbilt Children's Hospital. This is the fourth year we've done that. Every mom or caretaker that has a child at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital for Mother's Day gets a gift from us. Handwritten note, the totes, we partner with a bunch of people. In fact, a girl drove in from Huntsville this morning and dropped off these little pieces of art that's going to go in each one. We'll do 400 of those. So we had volunteers come in our office and pick up packs of 25 to write the notes. And so you would write a note that's a standard note that we have for those. And you could write a note. So lots of different opportunities to come in the office. You can sign up to come in for that prayer meeting if you just want to pray. You can sign up on our website to become a prayer partner if you want to serve in that way. So maybe it's time that you have that the Lord is calling you to, I have a purpose for this time that you're given. And we can come in there and kind of meet that need. Some people come in our office. I would say to our donors, especially major donors, we are an answered prayer for them and they are an answered prayer for us. The Lord has given people and blessed them immensely, and they want to give it away. They know they need to. They know they're called as believers to give, and they want a place to give. And so some people that come in my office are truly looking for a place to give their money, and we're here for it. We are here for that too. So you can give online. You can come in the office, talk about different opportunities. We have tons of people that donate from different foundations, family funds. We have a monthly donor program called Hope Builders that brings in a little over $100,000 a year for us. That we have anywhere from $10 a month to $500 a month that We have someone on our staff, Morgan, who's dedicated to our hope builders. And it's not just kind of a monthly withdrawal. We really try to engage those hope builders, pray for them by name, have ways to kind of get them in our community. And it's just a, instead of a one-time gift, it's more of a continued engagement, and you kind of get a little more of the inside on what's going on in Faithfully Restored. So we love our monthly donors. We have about 150 of them. And so there's lots of different ways to get involved. And we truly want to meet you where you are, whether that's serving you, whether that's providing a way for you to volunteer, or whether that's, you know, you feel like you are called to give somewhere, we can be that too.
That's amazing. Well, it's just a beautiful organization. I'm so glad I got introduced to it. Just actually through social media is where I found you. And you also have an Amazon wish list, which is on your website. So even while women are buying things online, if they sign up for your Amazon wish list, they can also, is that just a wish list, or can part of their sale go to your organization?
Amazon Smile, which that's Smile, part of the sale, they took that away, unfortunately.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Amazon took that away. So we have an Amazon wish list that's continuously up there. Heather does all of our marketing and communications on our team, and she is constantly updating that for different things. And then we have people that, our address is on the website. We have people that maybe you've walked through something and you loved a book. We'll have people just send us a case of books, or send us a couple books that they loved, or maybe, right, you know, a friend with an Etsy shop that wants to donate some things, or even partnering in that way. We love to support if you own a business, and a lot of people will get from their business, donate things that they have left over, kind of overstock items that we can do in different care packages. There's lots of different ways to partner like that. A lot of companies do matches. And so if your company is one of those ones, if you donate to us and your company matches, a lot of people do that. There's lots of different, we're basically here for any way to partner, whether through donation of items, money, whatever it is, we're here to partner with you.
Well, that's just amazing. So thank you so much for being here today. Tell my audience though, where they can find you online.
Absolutely. Our website is faithfullyrestoredwomen.com. All on there. You can go on there. There's videos of each of the founder stories. If you want to look back on there and kind of see our stories, there's a video on there, the little bit more about what we do. And then also our breakfast clubs, if you're not local and can't join us for one of those breakfast clubs, we have an archive of all of the women that have shared at a breakfast club. They've been interviewed after. And so if you have a friend walking through suicide, or walk that, you know, is recently a widow, or you have a friend that just had a stillborn baby that you need to know, how do I walk alongside her? You can get on our website, and on the resource page are all of those interviews, and they'll walk through their own story, where they see the Lord in it, and then also how you can provide meaningful support. So there's tons of stuff on our website, faithfullyrestoredwomen.com. You can also give on our website, sign up to volunteer, sign up to be a prayer partner on there. Everything is through our website. And then, like you said, found us on social media. We are active on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. You can follow us there, Faithfully Restored Women. I think it's faithfully.restored.women on there as well.
Wonderful. Well, Jamie, it's been a delight. Thanks so much for being here today.
You are so welcome. I would love anyone to reach out with any questions. My email phone is on the website, so always feel free to reach out. Thank you for having me.
I hope you found encouragement in Jamie's story and in the story of Faithfully Restored. Scripture says God will give us beauty for ashes as we bring him our sorrow and grief. Jamie's story is a beautiful picture of that. If you are going through some kind of loss, I encourage you to not go through it alone. And if you know someone who is going through loss, you can submit their name to Faithfully Restored, but even better, send a text or a note and let them know you are thinking of them. You never know how that might change the trajectory of their entire day. Next week is Mother's Day week, and if you still have your mom here on earth, I'm going to just ask you to reach out and tell her you love her and appreciate her in some way. Send a card, a note, a text, but better yet, call her on the phone. I know a lot of you don't like to do that, but most moms I know just want to know that they are loved and not forgotten, no matter how old they are. And if you and your mom have a rift in your relationship, maybe the gift you can give her this year is forgiveness. She'll appreciate it, and your life will be better for it. I'm certain. Thanks for tuning in today. And remember, midlife is just a brand new season to find your passion and purpose for your grand finale. Talk next week.